Pastor Dave usually teaches adult class, and when we found out yesterday that he was real sick, they said, "Preacher, it's all yours." Because it can't be little Billy, because he's in Lima. It can't be Brother Myers, because he's sick too. He got the same thing David's got. I don't know if it's as bad, but I know he's real sick. And so they said, "Okay, the old man ever." I got sick there, and lately the preacher does like one service a week, and I'm going to get them all this week. That's going to be exciting. I'll do it if you'll hang in there with me, with a stiff neck and all, amen? I want to, for the Sunday school time, I want to share with you some Bible names. Some Bible names. And, names that they mentioned, they refer to Jesus, but they don't call him Jesus. It's a different name. And so let's start out with one of my favorite verses. Glad you're here. How about the weather? Wow. I love that weather, man. Man, it's warm, nice. The sun. Steph, for the last month, we've had snow. Seriously, snow and bad weather almost every single Sunday. It's been horrible. I said, boy, they messed up. Today's Sunday, and they messed up. You know, but praise God for that great weather. Amen. This is one of my Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. What I'm going to do today, I'm going to give you some verses with the names that refer to Christ. And Bible names from Jesus. I just titled it. Sat down, wrote these out yesterday. And look at Isaiah 9, 6. How many got Isaiah 9, 6? For unto us a child is born. Hallelujah. That's the prophecy of the birth of Christ. 700 years before Christ was born. And we have a prophecy of his birth. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be. How many look at that? His name shall be called. What's the first one? Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no other name greater than Jesus, and he's wonderful. I made a note here. No one's more wonderful than Jesus. I think that's an appropriate name for our Savior. His name is Wonderful. Amen? How many believe he's a wonderful Savior? Say amen. Wonderful. Then he said, Counselor. Man, you need help today? The Bible says, seek the Lord. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. He's the greatest counselor you ever go to. And thank God for our wonderful Savior. Thank God for our wonderful counselor. And he's a mighty God. You know, this old world doesn't live like he's a mighty God. But one day they're going to see him. When he comes back in his revelation, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to see a mighty God. And so his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at the next one. The Everlasting Father. When did Jesus begin? He never did. He always was. That's hard to grasp. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus never began. He always was. He always was. I mean, go back as far as you want, and he was there. That'll blow your mind out, won't it? I don't try to figure those things out. I just accept them as truth. Listen, look up here. God's so much larger than us. We'll never figure out the greatness of God. Amen? And notice, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. How long does the Everlasting Father last? Forever. He's never gonna go out. He's always going to be there. You think about that, Annie. I've been trying to get something for my son, my grandson. I've been trying to, all the pictures that we've collected over the years. I'm trying to get an album just of, now don't, I'm, this ain't a pride thing. I'm trying to hand it down to my family of all the Skyvers, like Grandpa Skyver, my grandpa, my dad. I'm trying to go, Grandma Skyver. I'm trying to make a big album of just the Skyvers, of the genealogy of Skyvers, and hand it down to my Austin Skyburn, my son David, so they'd have a genealogy running and a little history of his background. Now, one thing, something about the Skyver family, my grandpa was named Ed Skyver. Edward, he died. My dad was named Harvey. He died. Someday in the future, hope it's not real near, but it could be, I'll die. But one thing great about our Father, Heavenly Father, He never dies. Amen? He's always there throughout all generations. Isn't that exciting? I see some silver hairs with me. A lot of times I'll think about my mom and dad. I'll think about my grandfather and my grandmother and think about them. And I miss them. There's a lot of days I'd love to go see my dad and talk to him. How many of you ever felt like that? But they're gone. Boy, isn't it great? No matter what year we're in, what time we're in, wherever we're in, we can always talk to our Heavenly Father. And He's always there. He's present right now. Amen? The Bible tells us in Hebrews we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we're talking about names for Jesus today. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And look at the last one. The Prince of Peace. Man, this whole world is torn and it's all full of war and sorrows and all kinds of trouble. But when Jesus comes, when He comes, He's going to set up a kingdom and there's going to be peace. How many are happy about that? We've got a 1,000-year reign. And then after that, of course, there's going to be a little trouble at the end there. But then He's going to set up new heaven, new earth. And we're going to know the Prince of Peace. And we're never not going to know any more violence and sorrow and heartaches. Yeah, I watch the news and boy, you see all those things of people being abused and hurt and kids being stolen. And, you know, it's just terrifying sometimes, you know. And I'm glad, Brother Mike. I'm glad one day we're going to know peace forever. Because the Prince of Peace is going to be ruling and reigning. Did you notice, before I leave this, if you'll notice in the front of that verse, unto us a child is born. This is a prophecy scripture proclaiming the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world. And I want to just read you, just keep your hand there. I'm going to read you over in 1 Timothy 4:10 about a Savior. 1 Timothy 4:10. There it is. It talks about how this Savior was born. In 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. That's that Savior that was born. Who is the, look at that. Who is the what? The Savior. By the way, seven letters. Seven's God's perfect number. You see a six-letter Savior? That's the Antichrist. Seven is God's perfect number. Savior of, look, who's He's a Savior of? Of all men. Let me see that. Especially of those that believe. Yeah, He came to save everyone. And He wants all people to be saved. And He died for all men's sins. But Brother Mike, the only ones that are going to really, He's going to be the real, He's the Savior of all men, but He's the Savior especially to those that trust Him because we've actually received what He came here for. We've received grace and mercy. Not all people, because they refuse it. Make sure that you know Christ is your Savior. Make sure you've received that wonderful mercy because He wants all people to be. The Bible says, people say, well, these people teach doctrines that only certain people can be saved, called election. That's a lie. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Brother Mike, it's God's will that none perish, that all come to repentance. And so if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, this would be the greatest day in your life to trust Him as your Savior. He's the Savior of the world, especially to those that believe on Him. Yeah. I'm glad over 40-some years ago, I trusted Him when I was 20 years old, I trusted Him as my Savior. Now, there are several names in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New, that refer to Jesus. And I'm going to just quote some, and I'll have you turn to some. Like, for instance, I was in Isaiah. If you went back just a little bit, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is referred to as the Rose of Sharon. How many ever heard that? The Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I'm glad he's the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I'm glad he's our mighty God. Amen? And so, in Proverbs 18:24, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad I got someone sticking close to me all the time. He's always watching them. I'm glad I have that good friend, you know? How many are glad you got that good friend with you all the time? Dale's going to have surgery pretty soon. It's coming up Friday. And you know what? Oh, there'll be preachers from there from Bethel. But more than that, Jesus will be, and your wife will be there. That's great. Nothing takes the place of a wife. But even far beyond that, this one that sticketh closer than a brother, he'll be there too, Dale. And that's exciting, isn't it? Amen? And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We're talking about names for Jesus in the Bible. Matthew 11:19. I want you to turn to it. I'm going to be in the New Testament now for a while. Matthew 11:19. He's called a friend of sinners. Whew, man, I'm glad he's my friend. If he wasn't a friend of sinners, you and I would never make it, because we're all sinners. In Matthew 11:19, verily I send you among them that are born. Why I'm doing wrong here. I'm on verse 19, right chapter, wrong verse. Hey, that's only the 15th mistake I made so far today. Notice Matthew 11:19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking and saying, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. They were mad because Jesus cared about everyone. I'm glad he's a friend of sinners. He's called a friend of sinners. By the way, if he wasn't a friend of sinners, you and I wouldn't have a chance to go to heaven. And so we're thankful for that. In Matthew 9:15, he's called our bridegroom. 9:15 of Matthew. Jesus said to them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. He's called our bridegroom. You can put that, if you want to put something there next to that, I didn't have a plan. Romans 7:4 says this, that we're married to another, even to him that raised from the dead. We are what they call the bride of Christ. Romans 7:4, we're married to another, even to them who are raised from the dead, even to him that raised from the dead, Christ. And so Christ, he's the groomsman, we're the bride. Amen? And so I'm glad he's called our bridegroom. All right, now then, Matthew 1:23, you know that one. It's called Emmanuel. We're talking about names in the Bible that refer to Christ. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. She wasn't pregnant. She's with child. I hate that word pregnant, because that's how come they kill them in abortion. Oh, it's just a pregnancy. No, it's a child. We just had a young lady a few weeks back. Her and Brother Jack, Alicia, they didn't have a pregnancy. They had a child. And if you go to their house, you'll see that baby today. That, you know, that was real. We got another couple. We're going to have one real soon, in a couple weeks. And trust me, that inside her right now is not a pregnancy. It's a child. How many are still with me? She's with child. Years ago, I don't know if it was Tammy or one of the kids. We used to remember I had that big kennel. I raised those Labrador retrievers, Skyvers. And one of the, either Tammy or one of the kids, they said, one of our dogs was named Beauty. She had puppies. They said, Grandpa, Beauty's with puppy. She's not pregnant. She's with puppy. And they were right. She, and when they came out, there was 9 or 10 puppies every time. No pregnancy. There was real things in there. But they called a pregnancy because they want to kill. But you know, when they kill that baby, I'm going to tell you right now, that mama, she'll have a scar on her the rest of her life. Oh, yeah, Christ will forgive her. She comes to him, but God never meant for those babies to be aborted. Abortion's murder. And it needs to be taught in the churches and taught in the schools, and it's wrong. It needs to be taught in the homes. The young people need to know that abortion is murder. You have an abortion, you murdered that baby. Hello? Anybody here? And so I know people don't like to hear that, but that's what it is. Notice, it says his name is called Emmanuel. Did I read that verse, 23? Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I'm glad God came down with to man. Man couldn't come up to God. God had to come down to man. And he did in the form of Christ. Boy, I'm tell you, I'm glad Emmanuel came. I'm glad. And by the way, God with us. That means Jesus was God. Not only the Son of God, but he was God in the flesh. Amen? And then I'm going to give... Hold your hand right there. Don't lose that. But we're going to have some fun with the I ams. Look at Exodus. So Jesus called Emmanuel. Look at Exodus 3:14. Stay in the New Testament because we're going to come right back. But I want you to see two verses in Exodus 3. Look at verse 13 and 14. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, God of your fathers has sent me unto you, what shall I say to me? What shall say to me? What is his name? He said, God, who should I tell when I go back to Israel, the people, who should I tell them your name is? What shall I say unto them? Look at verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am. That I am. He said, thus shall I say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you. It's amazing. What'd you say, God? He told Moses, you just go tell those people the name of God, I am. I am has sent you. That's my name. I am. That's one of his names. And so Moses went back and said, I am. And they knew, wow, that's God. Now, it's amazing. The God of the Old Testament comes forth in the New Testament also. Because look at, remember, what was God's name for Moses? I am. Now, look at John chapter 6. I'm not going to do all of them, but I put 3 or 4 down there. Tons of them. John chapter 6 and verse 35. What was God's name? I am. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. How many see that? You need bread to live, but bread sustains us. Matter of fact, he even uses manna as an illustration there. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Notice in verse 48, I am the bread of life. That I am. How many see that? Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He's trying to relate to them. Hey, I'm just like I sent you. By the way, they were sustained because he sent down manna from heaven. He said, now I'm sending you living bread. Now I'm going to give you something that not let you just be sustained for a day or two. I'm going to give you something now that you can last forever. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Hallelujah. So Jesus is called I am in the Bible. By the way, verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, and he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. How many want to live forever? I used to love John Allen. John Allen used to sing that song, I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna die, no never. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. How many remember that song? Yeah, John used to sing it all the time. So Jesus is the I am of the Bible. He's the living, I am the living bread. Notice, look at John 8, look at John 8, 12. We're talking about names for Jesus. He was called a friend of sinner. He was called a friend that sticketh closer. He was called the bridegroom. He's called the Emmanuel. He's called I am. He's called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. All kinds of names, and they're all referring to Christ. Isn't that exciting? In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said and spake unto them, I am the what? The light of the world. Yep. He's the I am of the Bible. By the way, if you don't have his light in you, you're walking in darkness. And that's what it says there. And he came so men could have the light of life. Look also in John 8, 58. They were arguing with Jesus. They said, oh, you don't know Abraham. And Jesus said in verse 58, verily, verily, I send you before Abraham was, I am. Man, I was way before Abraham. They said, how can that be, man? But they knew what he was saying, because when he said, I am, look what they did. You think they took up stones to cast at him. He proclaimed himself as God there. And they didn't want to receive it. You know, there's a lot of times Christ comes to people and sad, even though he comes to them with love and tenderness and mercy and grace, they turn away. They turn away. They cast stones. I've been with people that I've witnessed to, and they've cussed me out, threw me out of their house, and, you know. How many of you ever had witnessed and somebody got mad at you because you don't? Yeah. And so, but they don't understand. I told this story before, and I'll tell it again. Years ago, when I was a kid preacher over there in Toledo, I had a man visit our church from Savannah, Ohio. And I went in and witnessed to him. And I pulled, I must have got to him because he got mad. He started cussing me out. He was a big guy. He was over 6 foot. And he got mad. He said, get out of my house. Get out of my, I'm sick of you preachers. Get out of my house. I left. Never saw him for a couple years. Matter of fact, I didn't see him. I haven't seen him at all. A couple years passed, and I got a phone call like 2 o'clock in the morning one day. Hey, preacher. I can't remember. I'll just say John. This is John from Savannah, Ohio. I just wanted to call you. Yeah? Remember the guy that kicked you out of my house? Yeah. I just got saved. He said, preacher, I just trusted Christ as my Savior, and I wanted you to be the first to know. Isn't that exciting? See, God's word never goes out void. So what you do, if someone yells at you, walk, don't yell back. Don't cuss back and say, okay, you dirty old dog, I hope you die and go to hell. Go ahead, stupid. Don't do that. You feel like doing it, but don't do that, because you never know what God's going to do. And so I always try to be polite and say, okay, I'm sorry I offended you, but Christ does love you and we care. And I walk out and leave it. Sit, look up here. I can't win anyone to Christ. It's got to be done by the Holy Spirit. We have to get the word out. We have to take God's word, but it's the final thing is the Holy Spirit has to do the work of God. We're to preach it and take it out, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's God that does all the saving. A lot of times people say, you saved me. No, I didn't save you. Even though we were a witness to people, God does all the saving. And so let's just keep witnessing. You just never know. Even that one that yelled at you yesterday, you never know. Now, I'll tell you what I do. if someone comes out harsh to me, I usually won't go to them for a while unless the Lord speaks to me. What I do is I pray that God will warm their heart and that they will come to me. Because how many believe God can still in the saving business? He can move people's hearts. And I used to pray for people that God would bring them to me. Years ago at Allied Chemical, there was a bit, we called him Stretch. He was a Roman Catholic, real, about 6'3". He was a real tall, thin fella. Died and woke Roman Catholic. And I prayed, God, would you bring Stretch? Would you bring him? One day he came. I was sitting at the table reading my Bible. And he came right across from me. And I took him through the plan of salvation. And boy, he got mad. He said, you're trying to make me a Baptist. I said, I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. I'm trying to get you to come to know Christ as your Savior. But I said, can I say something to you, Stretch? I was here all by myself reading my Bible. Did I come to you or did you come to me? Well, it don't matter. I'm sick of your Baptist. I said, what you don't understand is God brought you. He's trying to witness to your heart. Don't trust in any... if you're trusting being a Baptist, you're not going to go to heaven. I'm not... But this guy was 100%... All he was believing in was the Catholic Church. Ain't no church going to save you. You got to have faith in the Son of God. Amen? Well, he got upset, but I know God pricked his heart. And then I went into ministry. I don't know whatever happened to him after that, but let's hope. So Jesus was I am. Look at John 10:9. I got to get going here. Wow. We're never going to get this done. John 10:9, Jesus said, I'm the door. How many see that? I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. Look, there's no other door to heaven but Christ. There's no other door but Christ. There's no good works, being a church member, being baptized, doing the sacraments. You just name anything you want. There's no way to get into heaven other through the door, and that door is Jesus. You must know. Listen, look up here. God wants people to go to his local... Jesus started a local church. He wants people to go and hear the Word of God every Sunday. It's a celebration of his birth, of his resurrection. Every Sunday, even though we make Easter, but every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. But people, if they never came to church, but if they heard the Word of God, and they trusted Christ, they could be saved right where they're at. Matter of fact, Brother Mike, church really wasn't made for people getting saved. Oh, it's nice when they come forward. But we're supposed to go out door knocking and witnessing. We're to win people to Christ and bring them to church so they can grow in grace. People, the modern day churches think, well, and I'm happy when they get saved. The local church was to edify the bodies of believers. Are you still with me? And I'm always glad when you get people to come, and we try to get people, because we can't always get them saved when we're out. But the real is that if we would do our job witnessing to people, praying for people, having a good testimony for Christ with people, God will bring them to you. We should go to them also, but we should see more people saved outside the church, bringing them in, than him being saved inside. I'm happy when they're saved, but God meant for us to go door knocking. God meant for us to go witnessing. God meant, look, the people that you work with, the Lord's counting on you to tell that person about Jesus. Well, they'll get mad. Let them get mad, but tell them anyways. Give them a track. That's the greatest little thing we got. I got tracks on me somewhere here. I've got that stuff in there. And I got everything crushed in there. There's a track crushed up with... I crushed it with this thing here. I always keep a lot of tracks on me. I keep them in my car. I keep them in my truck. I keep them in all my suit coats. Because you never know where you'll be. Even if you don't witness, You could just say, here, I'd like to give you a gift, an invitation to heaven. I'd like to give this to you. Jesus loves you. And then you can walk away. You don't have to be a great soul winner to be a soul winner. Does that make sense? And so, see, that bell didn't ring yet. I'm just starting. Was it? Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Stink. Johnny Appleseed used to put the seed out to put the trees up. We need to be Johnny Appleseed with the Word of God. Amen? Well, okay, let's do this real quick. Okay, in John 10:9, he said, I'm the door. Jesus is the only door to heaven. Must go through him to get in heaven. John 10:11, he's a good shepherd. Look at John 10:11. Am I right? I'm looking for it. I am the good shepherd, yeah. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Good thing he did. You would not be able to get saved. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Oh, I see that. I'm glad the good shepherd laid down his life for us, aren't you? Don't turn to it. I ain't got time. But not only is he the good shepherd, he's a great shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 says he's a great shepherd, our great shepherd. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. We're working on the I ams. So the I ams. Then John 1:29, that's enough I ams. There's a lot more I ams, but I'll give you a couple more here besides the I am. He's called the Lamb. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. John 1:29, John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. Can anyone say amen? So Jesus is the slain Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. First, we ain't going to have time now. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 talks about the precious blood of Christ. No, let's do it. I'll just have to end with that. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter near the back of your Bible. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ. Yeah, as what John the Baptist called him? The Lamb of God. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. I'm going to tell you right now. Hallelujah. Before God made heaven and earth, before God made Adam and Eve, before he made trees, before he made the animals, Jesus said, I will be the Savior of the world. Did you know it was foreordained that Christ would be slain at Calvary before there was a Calvary? Think about that. I used to look at 1 Peter 2:25. 2:25, I'm trying to find it. For you were a sheep going, we're talking about the name of Jesus. For you were a sheep going astray, but now returned unto what? The shepherd, he's called the shepherd, and the bishop of our souls. How many see that? Another name for Christ. Look at 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's called the chief shepherd. And so, praise God. Let me just quote you. You can write these things down. In John chapter 1, he's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Three times, capital W-R-D is mentioned there. Then in verse 14, it says, and the Word, talking about Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld him as only begotten of the Father. So that word, capital W-R-D, is actually mentioned five times. In 1 John 1:1, Jesus is the Word of life. in 1 John 2:1, Jesus is our advocate. Boy, I'm glad he's our advocate. In 1 Timothy 2:5, he's our mediator. Well, I wanted to show you something. He's our mediator between God and man. Why don't you turn to that scripture, 1 Timothy 2:5. I'll have to close on that. I got a lot of stuff in Revelation, but we're not going to make it. 1 Timothy, I want to show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. How many got that? There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Yeah, just a minute. I'm going to finish this. I don't care what the bell does. Christ is the mediator. I haven't changed, have I, Brother Mike? Notice, you got God. Let me see this. And then you got man. And then you got the mediator, which brings God and man. What brings man together with God? Calvary. The mediator, Jesus Christ. You got God and man, then you got the cross of Calvary. And Jesus brought fallen man back to a holy God through the shed blood of Calvary's cross. How many can say amen? Well, I'm just going to read these to you. In Revelation 1:8, he was the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We're talking about in Revelation 19:13, he's the Word of God. Revelation 19:11, he's called faithful and true. And the Revelation 19:16, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can keep on going, but I know I got to stop. So, okay. Amen. I'm glad we got a wonderful Savior. And that's just, that, by the way, there's thousands. I only put a few down there for you. And all right, let's have a moment of prayer, and we'll break for 5 minutes, and then we'll come out and have a church service. Brother Ray, why don't you lead us in prayer and close us out in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our highness to convey to worship your holy name. We thank you for your word, Lord, the true gospel, Lord, your words. And Lord, we just ask that you bless the service this afternoon. And Lord, we ask that you be with all the sick and afflicted that can't make it today, Lord. Just be with them and heal them up. Lord, we pray that you be with Pastor Dave, your word. And we ask that you continue to bless our church and bless our pastor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.